Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So one of the devil's job here on earth while we're still alive is to enslave us. To enslave us, right? To keep us in handcuffs, to keep us tied down, to keep us bound in different ways. So in which ways, right? Enslaved in sin. He wants us to remain in a particular sin. And to convince us this sin is never going to go away. To really keep us trapped in this particular sin or the sins that we think that will never go away. Enslaved to laziness. Enslaved to fear. Right? When it comes to fear, it can look in many different ways. Even fear about the existence of him. Right? So the enemy will even tell us, like, don't think about me too much. Because if you think about me, you're going to get really scared. Even from that standpoint, he will try to, you know, instill that slavery upon us. Fear of him, fear of the future, fear of getting sick, fear of somebody in your family is going to pass away, fear of this constant just fear. This is slavery. Now, we have 7 weeks of Easter because we're still celebrating the resurrection. Easter is just not one day. I can say, how was your Easter? And you can say, yeah, it was pretty good. We went here, we went there. You know, no family drama, which is unlikely for Chaldeans, but it was a good time. Well, that's one day. When we say we're an Easter people, we are talking about 7 weeks. And even after 7 weeks, we're not done celebrating Easter. The reason is because we need day after day, 7 weeks of a reminder, almost 50 days of reminder to say we are free. We are no longer slaves. The enemy has no control over us. He can bark, but like any dog, he has an owner. And then God just pulls the leash back when the barking takes place. This is what happens. So we're still in this resurrection season. Have we been resurrected or are we still living as slaves? Because if we're living as slaves, there's no freedom in that. In today's gospel, Jesus is talking to the Father. And what he's saying is, I want their lives to be fulfilled. Not just the ones I saved, not just the apostles that you gave me, but the ones that are coming in the future. I want them to live a life of freedom. I want them to live a life of joy and peace. And a lot of us are not today living that life that Jesus had planned for us. Of freedom, of joy. We're living as slaves. How unfortunate that this is still our situation. Now, there is something that we can do to regain that control, that freedom from the enemy who's trying to keep us enslaved. And the answer to that is prayer. Now, not every prayer scares the enemy. Not every prayer regains control for us to have that freedom in our lives. Not every prayer does that. But there is a certain way when we are praying, in a particular way, when we pray like Jesus prays, and we heard that in today's gospel, that scares the enemy. He can't scare us. We regain control. We are no longer enslaved when we pray how Jesus prayed. Today's gospel is a prayer between Jesus and the Father. Which is a prayer. How did he pray? He prayed with intimacy. He prayed with conviction. He prayed in a personal way. He didn't pray as a robot. He didn't just throw out some words. He had a cohesive thought throughout his prayer. It all matched up. It was almost like, go back and read it, John 17. It's like poetry. What's crazy is that this is the last prayer, which takes place right after the Last Supper, more than likely took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. Having a cohesive thought when Jesus is struggling with the cross that's about to come his way. That type of prayer that's personal, brothers and sisters. That type of prayer which is intentional. That type of prayer which is intimate with God scares the enemy. And we gain control over our lives. We live as free sons and daughters, no longer enslaved. The enemy doesn't want us to pray that way. He doesn't. I've heard this before. You can't pray a 10-cent prayer and expect a $1 million answer. We need to be serious about prayer. When we pray 10-cent prayers, we don't gain control over our lives. We remain enslaved. We don't live a life of joy. Nothing changes in our lives. The enemy does not fear us with 10-cent prayers. And brothers and sisters, I'm afraid, even I have to admit myself, I'm constantly giving God 10-cent prayers. I'm giving him 10-cent prayers. And a lot of us are giving him 10-cent prayers, expecting million-dollar results. Free me from this addiction. Free me from my anxiety. Free me from this. Help my marriage. Help my finances. And we're giving 10-cent prayers. We're cheap with God. And that's why nothing changes. I'm not judging anybody's spiritual life here. I will be the first to admit I give God 10-cent prayers. Because I'm not serious about prayer. I become more serious in my prayer, which is why I have more control in my life. It's why I'm able to connect, because I'm seeing that these 10-cent prayers are not working. So what does that look like? What are some 10-cent prayers? 10-cent prayer is when I check off my prayer like a to-do list. That's a 10-cent prayer. I went to Mass, check. I spent 5 minutes in the chapel, check. I prayed my rosary, check. I read the 8th day of the novena today. Today is the 8th day. I have to hurry up and do it. That's check. I can't wait till this Mass is over. Father, please stop talking. You talk too much. Hurry up. I got to go. I have things to do. Check, 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 check. 10-cent prayer. That does not instill any fear whatsoever, no threat to the enemy when we pray that way. I've done that. Imagine me as a priest. I have to do 3 or 4 masses in 1 day. I have a funeral mass. I have to do this. And I'm just going, I'm just praying the mass. I'm just praying the mass. I'm just praying the mass. I'm cheap with God. Rather, there's no integration with what I'm saying and what my heart is going on in my heart and in my mind. There's no integration. It's a compartmentalized prayer. Check, 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 check. That's why we remain enslaved. Right? Instead, I'm going to Mass. I'm here at this Mass. This is the most important thing, God, that I'm going to do today. Lord, it's through the Mass that you're feeding me with your body and your blood. And yes, I'm distracted. Yes, I'm human. And yes, I have a million things going on today. But Lord, I need this Mass. I need this. It's life or death in this spiritual battle today. I need this Mass, Lord. I'm here not for you. I'm here for me. I need another Mass throughout the week. I'm praying this rosary, not just Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Mary. I am praying this rosary because I need you in this valley of tears, Mary. Suffering and no certainty in this world. I need you, Mom. I need you with every Hail Mary. Lord, I'm going to the chapel and I'm going to spend this time and I have a million things. I have to study. I got to do this. My family needs me. But Lord, I need these 5 minutes to be in your presence. Please, Jesus, I only have 5 minutes. Give me your strength, Lord. Fill me up so I can fill my kids and my wife when I get home. I'm here. I'm just here to receive. Jesus, please. I know you will do it. That's why I need this. This is a gas station for me right now, Lord. I have 5 minutes. I need this. I'm not doing you a favor. You're doing me a favor. That scares the devil. That changes my life. That's a game changer. We all want different results. We want million-dollar changes in our lives. But when we check prayer off like a to-do list, that doesn't work. Also, when my prayer is contractual, that's a 10-cent prayer. It's a contract. Think of a contract. A contract is like a business transaction. I go to the dealer and I say, I want this car, and I sign a contract, and he says, you get the car for 24 months for X amount of dollars per month. It's a business transaction. When I approach prayer like a business transaction, like a contract, that's a 10-cent prayer. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do this novena. Now I'm going to pray this novena. I want this product at the end of 9 days. Or I'm going to go to Mass because this is what I just do. That's a contract. Or Lord, I'm going to pray this time. I'm going to spend these 5 minutes in prayer, but peace out. I'll see you after these 5 minutes. I'll see you tomorrow. Nothing else throughout the rest of the day. Business transaction. 10-cent prayer. When my intention of prayer is to change God's mind and his plan is a 10-cent prayer. It's good to ask. Lord, I want my circumstances to change. But that's not how Jesus prayed. Jesus in today's gospel, he's praying and his circumstances did not change. He changed. He was able to approach the cross. He didn't say, Father, he asked, Father, take this cup away from me in the garden, because this prayer took place in the garden. He asked three times, Father, take this cup away from me. But his circumstances did not change. He still approached the cross. But he changed. He let go. Death to control. Death to worry. He changed. Prayer is supposed to change us. We're out here trying to change God. No. If we're praying to change God's mind about something, our prayer is meant to change us. It's not meant to change God. Our circumstances may or may not change when we pray. But if we're serious about prayer, then maybe our circumstances will start to change. That's a 10-cent prayer, and I'm guilty of it too. So these are some ideas of what 10-cent prayer looks like. Again, our circumstances may not change when we pray, but the loyal person comes back. Not, oh, God has forgotten me. God has abandoned me. God hasn't allowed me to find this thing hasn't changed in my life. No, prayer is meant to change us. And if we're not changing, brothers and sisters, we're not serious about prayer. The final thing I'll say is just what does this personal, intimate prayer that actually regains me control, changes my life, gets rid of my addiction, what does this look like? Takes away my fears, my anxieties. What does this look like? And there is something that I learned. Father Patrick and I took a class in 3 years. We spent a three-year course in Chicago, and they teach something called ARRR. So if you want to write this down, please. If you want to be serious about prayer, now is the time. I give you permission. Take your phone out. Take some notes. Just real quick, I'm going to go through these four steps, because this helps us be intimate with our prayers, how Jesus is being intimate with the Father in today's gospel. This changes when we become serious. So A, the first A is acknowledge. I have to acknowledge what's going on within me. Jesus had human thoughts. He had human feelings. He had human desires. And he's very clear today what those thoughts and feelings and desires are. He acknowledged them. Right? He had feelings probably of anxiety. He's acknowledging it. He's thinking of the future for the apostles, which are us today. He has thoughts. Are these apostles going to get stuck in this world and get devoured by the enemy? He had desires. I don't want to endure this cross. We might acknowledge, but what are we doing with it? Which is the second step. I got to acknowledge what's going on inside of me with my thoughts, feelings, and desires. Then second is relate. I relate that to Jesus. I have to relate it to somebody. Sometimes we acknowledge and we just keep it up here. Nothing changes. But I have to relate it to the Lord. Jesus, I feel anxious right now. Jesus, I feel temptation towards lust right now. Jesus, I don't feel any temptations to lust right now, which is a grace from you, God, but I'm relating it to you because I don't want it to come later. Third is receive. The clearest sign that I'm actually growing an intimate conversation, an intimate prayer with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that I'm praying like Jesus as if I'm able to receive. I'm going to my word after I've acknowledged, after I've related, and now I'm receiving. God, what do you want to say to me? I'm going to the word of God to speak to me. I'm going to the word of God to calm down the flames inside of me of lust and anger and addiction and fill in the blank. We're not receiving. That's why nothing changes. And finally, just response. After I acknowledge, I relate it to Jesus, I receive from God, then what's my response? I want to change, Lord. Thank you for speaking to me today. I am important to you. The enemy doesn't have a grip on me anymore. This day I'm keeping my eyes fixed on you instead of self-reliance, which makes me fall flat on my face. So today we come and we approach the altar the same way Jesus approached, dependent on the Father. Amen.